He made a unity seen that the history of the human race can be divided into periods, the centuries, the origin of our first parents, up to the coming of Christ. And then the human ending of so far, the birth of the Savior and Bethlehem. The whole world, the 6 billion of people in the world, all divide human history into what we call B.C. and A.D. There is great value, therefore, in seeing at some close range the events which surrounded the coming of the Messiah. Among other possible choices, we shall meditate on the actual birth of Jesus, the visit of the shepherds, and the coming of Abraham. By his birth, visit of the shepherds, and the coming of Abraham. Once we realize that the coming of the Savior was foretold from the dawn of human history, we should be ready to give our deepest attention to the fulfillment of this prophecy. Though even in human history, having foretold more frequently, more clearly than the coming of Jesus Christ. Not surprisingly, the same Luke provides us with the most details. Luke, remember, was a disciple of St. Paul, the apostle of converted sinners. He knew the importance, the transcendent importance of the Savior's coming to a sin-laden human family. New tradition also tells us instruct for Our Lady. She told him a great deal about the coming and the birth of Jesus. Surely, Jesus Christ was the most vivid in his provided details of his coming of the world, down to the least detail. Just for the record, St. Luke is the Evangelist of Mary, as also the devices of God's mercy. Before we go on, let me just recommend that we daily read, in just 5 or 10 minutes, read from the Scriptures. First reflection, therefore, is of the actual birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. St. Ignatius, in describing the historical event, he uses 3 stages to describe the coming of Christ. Each stage is occasioned by circumstances which Mary and Joseph had not planned for. on what we should learn. Most of our lives do not plan of a chance of it happening. I repeat, the verb to happen is a pagan word. Each event took place as had been eternally planned by God. First, the journey to Bethlehem. We know what occasion Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem was a decree of the pagan emperor Lord. Mary and Joseph to the city of Bethlehem. May safely say they had never been there before. Caesar Augustus wanted a census taken of his people. The empire, the Roman Empire, under Caesar Augustus had been the most prosperous, the most successful, the most famous, the most widespread empire in human history. The emperor therefore understandably wanted to have a census taken of all the people. Each person report to his own power. Luke, 2nd chapter, 3rd verse. Because Joseph was of the family of David, and David's family, strange to say, was from Bethlehem, Joseph took Mary and her child to Bethlehem. All sanctioned before planned by God. It is God to use the coward of the pagan governor, Pilate, to fulfill the prophecy of the Messiah. The Messiah's death in Jerusalem. So God used the pride of the pagan emperor, Augustus, to fulfill the predicted birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem. I'll repeat it, but keep repeating until the end of the liturgy. Nothing ever happens. Everything is planned by God. Now the birth, the actual birth of Jesus. We believe on faith that God became man. We believe the infinite, almighty, the infinite, helpless, human child. But is it possible? The Messiah was to save the world, was born in a stable. All the years I've asked my repeaters, how many of you have been born in a barn? Joseph and Mary showed up. Sorry, they were told there's no room for you. All through the life of Christ, from before his conception in Mary's womb, then his conception, his birth, are signs of humility. It is one virtue I want to impress as deeply as I can on the minds of all of you. It is the virtue of humility. Whatever you do with the fruit of this retreat, in God's name, check your pride every day. You're all naturally, spontaneously prone to pride. What did God do? God used the humiliating fact of having no respect of the naval lodging for the divine son's birth as man, except be born in a stable. I'm talking to Americans in the wealthiest nation in human history. The only question is, how long will America survive? I don't know. I don't believe the United States will survive the 20th century. How God wants to teach us. Well-fed, well-held, well-taken care of Americans. In the years of my grammar school, I would walk 2.5 miles each way to school. Who walks nowadays? Dear God, what spoiled human beings we have become. I repeat, this will not go on. Once again, God used the mediating fact of having no respectable and available lodging for his divine son's birth as man. We attempt to think of this as poetry. It's not poetry. Hear it. Most of the 6 billion people in the world go to bed hungry every night. I'll repeat, most of the human race goes to bed hungry every night. I've been in India 6 times. Trying to reach India the 7th time. I've been forbidden officially by the Indian government to step foot inside of India. All along the streets of India, not hundreds but thousands of people in the city of Calcutta alone, begging for food, children, grabbing their stomachs, empty, They're hungry. How we need, we, shall I say it, wealthy Americans, how desperately we need to learn the meaning and the practice of poverty. I'm not indulging in poetry. I'm describing most of the human race. Last week when God became man, he came into the world, not in a place where he could be born, except in a stable. Know the song of the angels. There could not be a more stark contrast between the stable where Christ was born and the song of the angels at Bethlehem. What is lifting the eyes of men is rage in the eyes of God. Oh, how much we have to learn. The moment we open our eyes on eternity. I mean every syllable of this sentence. You're living in a dream world. No sooner was Mary's child laid in the trough on which animals fed. Then God sent a body to his heavenly host, praising God and singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to man of goodwill. Two profound mysteries. God in the heavens is to be glorified, not only by human beings, but by the angels, for his humble birth as man. Peace promised to Christ. But hear it. Peace is promised only to those whose will is good, because their wills are conformed to the will of God. Over the years I've had occasion to visit and try unsuccessfully to convert wealthy multi-millionaires. One multi-millionaire with whom I had dinner, during the meeting, told me, "I have 9 servants waiting on me. In a meal, push one button after another." The man rushing to the table, the orders from his boss. I repeat, two profound mysteries revealed. God in heaven is to be glorified. Not only is he glorified by men, hear it, he is glorified by those angels that remain faithful to God and are in heaven, those who refuse to glorify God are angels still, but they are devils in hell. What a lesson for all of us. I see all of you sitting in chapel. Very near future, every one of us will die. The only question is, where do we go once we die? And the secret of reaching heaven is the practice of humility on earth. God could not, or he could not, have humiliated himself more deeply than the way he did when he was born. The song of the angels on Christmas Day. Peace is promised. Peace is promised only to those whose will is good, whose will is conformed to the will of God. Before this retreat is over, I beg you, I plead with you, examine your consciences, look into your lives. Ask yourselves, what in my life is conformed to the will of God and what is not? There is no peace to anyone except to the person whose will is totally submissive to the will of God. Oh, what fools we can be. We have come to associate happiness with wealth, happiness with money, happiness with having, well, a lot of good friends. But that is not the formula that God gives us. Our wills conformed to the will of God are the infallible and indispensable condition for being at peace. I hope, I know what I'm saying, I hope at least some of you have trouble, worry in your mind. I hope so. Because then you should be motivated to examine your consciences and ask yourself, what is it that caused me to lose my peace of mind? Why am I losing sleep? What are my worries? There's only one concern you should have, to do the will of God. I've said before to some of you, my mother was a widow when I was a year old. A week after my father was killed in work, mother went to work. She worked every night of her life until the night before she died. your family board never bought a newspaper, never had a telephone, just enough food to survive on. I walked to school 2.5 miles each way, every day. St. John speaks of the long expected birth of the Messiah. Being close to his beloved, one home with him, where the wages Mary placed him in the manger. The manger, you may say, was damp and dim. When the animals around surround them, at that season, the God of heaven and earth was laid in a manger. Manger, as I'm sure you know from the French, means to eat. But who eat in a manger? Animals. Never has God shown us how much he wants to practice. To practice poverty and humility. I know whom I'm talking to. I want all of you to be challenged. And the wealthy, those who enjoy the good things of this world, will not reach heaven. Now the shepherds. We can distinguish three phases in the role of the shepherds at Bethlehem. First, he was born by an angel. Now the Savior was born that day. Secondly, they went to Bethlehem with haste, where they found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in a manger. Then, how important this is, they returned and then home, glorify and praise God, and spread the good news to everyone they could. Just a very short omelette. Ask yourselves, how often at what length do we speak of our faith to those who don't have it? What should we call it? Human respect. What shall I call it? Pride. I want to ask for raising of hands, but I will suggest in God's name and with the main fruits of this retreat, start sharing your faith with those with whom you live. And with those whom you casually meet, know the angelic message. Remember the message of the angel was. Good news. And yet, as you may be sure, much, maybe most of Palestine do not even know that the living God became man, was born in Bethlehem. We all want to be happy. Let's be clear what true happiness consists in. There is no joy in the human heart in the happiness that comes from knowing that a person is at one with God. May I strongly recommend that you examine your consciences at least every night before you go to bed. honor the judgments, examine his conscience 7 times every day. His rule for the members of his society, God to examine our conscience 2 times each day, once at noon, once in the evening. Then they found the Christ child announced to the shepherds by the angel. This was the second time. That group refers to people going in haste after an angelic message. Remember, that's what Our Lady did. Once he announced to her in Nazareth, she was to give birth to the Messiah. What did she do? She went in haste. The second day, she ran to visit her cousin Elizabeth. I have one declarative sentence in my notes. Why the shepherds go in haste? Shall we see why they run to Bethlehem? Because they believed. I've taught in universities for 2 many years. I visited a state university. I can simply say, the more wealthy a person is, the more educated that person is, the harder it is for such an individual to practice humility. The humility and trusting faith of the shepherds enable them to grasp, as has been told by the angels, that the Messiah was born. They believe they went where Jesus was. And they believe with their mind with his soul, with their bodily eyes. I know what I'm saying. Finished my university study before I entered the Society of Jesus. Then, believe it, 15 more years. My God. 15 more years of education. Americans are stuffed with knowledge, loaded with all kinds of information. But, dare I say it, Americans are starving for the knowledge of God. We are told by the evangelists, on seeing Christ in the manger, they understood what had been told them concerning this child. We talk about the shepherds. Their humility and trusting faith enable them to grasp immediately their minds. They recognize in that child, helpless, speechless, what only a humble and simple mind can grasp. I know what I'm saying. Taught judgment and theology for 15 years. All university graduates. How hard it is to teach the simple truths of the faith to powered minds. The more we possess, either money, mazuma, or in intellectual training, the harder, the more difficult, dare I say, the more humanly impossible it is for such a person to be truly honest and godly, humble. What are we told? The advantage could make it, could not make it more plain. The moment they saw Jesus, they believed. But I want to stress during this retreat, they not only believed, shall I say instantaneously, as soon as you see the Christ child, you're told, they went and told everyone in the neighborhood what they had seen. They shared their faith. They were after the angels, the first apostles of the Word made flesh. Let me say it. The Catholic Church is very, very short of priests. Parishes in the Detroit Archdiocese, one priest is serving seven parishes. You don't have to be priests to share the Word of God with everyone. Where is our lives? We ask a strange question. Suppose we've never been in your house before. That is your house. Looks around. What do you see? Are the pictures of our Lord and Our Lady on the walls? I'm not a merchant in selling sacred pictures. Oh, dear God. Self-contained we can be, or be occupied with our own interests. How blind to the needs of the world in which we live, to hear and see whatever will remind them of the faith we profess. not an agent for pictures. In God's name, make sure your home has, shall I say it, many holy pictures on the wall. Is a crucifix in your home. Can people enter your house, recognize instantaneously this is a Catholic home. Or you want me to quote from St. Bernard. Poverty, says Bernard, was not found in heaven. It was found on earth. And that does not know its value. That is why the Son of God treasured, came down from heaven to choose poverty for himself, to make poverty precious to us. I speak from a lifetime of experience. My widowed mother and I never had a newspaper, never had a radio, never owned a telephone. I'm not boasting. I am sharing with you my lifetime experience. That's why I'm here. One more part to come. The Magi. By way of exception, except St. Luke. It is the evangelist Matthew who gives us the narrative of the vision of wise men to the infant Jesus. And you know from reading the scriptures, the star sent the Magi to visit the Christ. On divine inspiration, and by God working miracles, the wise men from the Orient were led, traveled who knows how many hundreds of miles, thousands more miles, to find the Christ child. Where the shepherds represented the chosen people of Israel, the Magi, as 2,000 years of the Church's teaching tells us, the Magi represented all of us, the Gentiles. The whole of mankind was to benefit from Christ's birth of Bethlehem, as explained by St. Augustine, there is no merely natural light which appears. For what St. John tells us, is not a star at all, but an invisible power transformed in appearance. In the army's court, heard about the star, they were thrown into panic. What was he hearing? A rival king, a descendant of David, The only thing that I can think of is going on to be in each other. Now the wish and the gifts the Christ child received. The Magi visiting the Christ child had the evangelist tells us crucified. and the story of Christianity for 2,000 years has been the same. A world intoxicated by pride, wealth, and prestige. The last thing it wants is to imitate. Are you serious? Imitate God, become man, and born in a stable. What I want to do is to help all of you examine your consciences and ask yourselves before God, Lord, am I living, am I truly living a poor, humble life? Because, as Christ tells us, the one person who will not enter heaven is a man or woman who is wealthy, who is proud. Only the poor and humble of heart will reach heaven. I don't believe your minds by telling you this. Thomas Monaghan, when I first met him, told me he was worth $2 billion. He made a grave mistake. He made the money of 3 day retreat. So I told him, you'll never get to heaven with all that money. Among the lessons we learned from Bethlehem is humility and poverty. Lord Jesus, enlighten all of us to see how humble and poor in spirit we are, because heaven is reserved only for the humble and poor in spirit. Amen.
Yeah.